South African miners on Thursday returned to work at the Lonmin Platinum Mine in Marikana after Lonmin resolved a five-week strike by agreeing to pay raises of up to 22%. 34 protesting miners were killed by police in Marikana on August the 16th, the worst state violence since the apartheid regime was brought down in 1994. A wave of unrest has left at least 46 people dead and many more injured, and protests have spread to a number of other mines. Anglican Archbishop Joe Seoka, president of the South African Council of Churches, was a key mediator in the standoff between the Lonmin management and representatives of the miners' trade unions. He was the one who informed cheering workers gathered at the stadium near Marikana Mine of the deal, which was signed with Lonmin management on Tuesday evening. You were fundamental in the negotiations between the mine management, the government and the miners' trade unions, and in brokering the deal. What is the feeling amongst the miners today?
My observation has been that there is a lot of joy, really, when they appeared on the television and in person for accepting the offer and for going back to work today. Nobody seemed to have been reluctant to do that. I don't believe that everybody is happy, but the majority of the people are very excited that at least they've got their jobs back after almost 6 weeks.
I've also been reading that depending on their category, the miners are receiving diversified pay increases. I think the rock drillers are receiving the largest percent. Has this solution proved satisfactory to all, do you think?
Well, look, they got 22% increase. That's a very unusual amount on salary increase. That would be, in the normal situation, salary adjustment. But that is what they demanded as an increase to their salaries, which creates a precedent that will make it very difficult for industry in future to deal with the demands of the workers outside the bargaining forum.
Now, the miners have always been very instrumental in bringing about change in South Africa. I'm thinking back to 1986, I think it was, when they made an indent in the apartheid system with their protests. Do you think this unrest will have political repercussions?
Well, it has political repercussions in various ways, one of which is that it changes the legislation of governing the labor relations of the country. And secondly, the bargaining forum or council will have to change its processes to accommodate trade union members. So there is a whole of redefining of how labor is to deal with these issues in future. But there is also a political issue that ministers are expected to deliver services, not to just talk. During the strike, the Minister of Labour had to be asked to come and talk to the strikers, and that was very helpful, and they explained to her what their needs were and asked for her intervention. And so that's a very political angle they took there. Because some people were saying, no, this has nothing to do with politics. It has all to do with the labor and the wages. And there is a space for that. But her involvement was very helpful in terms of explaining how the negotiation process happened through the organized labor. And that because they're outside the organized labor, it was a very special arrangement that was required in this matter.
It's very complex from the outside. We are reading articles regarding the validity of the unions themselves in South Africa today. Do they still have the value that they did? And also the ANC itself, the governing party, which has always been seen historically as to be on the part of the workers, of the poor. And this standoff has seems to set it against the poor in a way. Do you agree with that kind of reading?
Well, to some extent, you see the landscape in politics in this country was influenced by the labor movement. They were part of the political movement. And the pressure they put in labor issues necessitated a speedy change to democracy. But there has been a general observation, and some leaders have agreed that the leadership has alienated itself from the workers. And so the gap has widened, as it is between the rich and the poor, for instance. And the workers are upset by that. But also for the fact that most of the political leaders were formed by the labor movement. The deputy president, for instance, was working with the trade union, and so is the general secretary of the ruling party. And so they feel like they've been let down by their very own people. And that needs to be addressed in future.
It also gives space to people such as Julius Malema, who seems to be firing up the crowds, exploiting their feelings of dissatisfaction. Are you worried about this kind of manifestation?
Yeah, it is a concern, really, because we're trying to separate labor issues from political ambitions. And the involvement of politicians does dilute the issues and confuse people. And so one would have preferred that politics stay out of labor issues so that the trade unions can do what they do better.
Archbishop, what conditions do the miners live in today?
Well, they're really appalling. The conditions are something that shouldn't be there, because mines do make a lot of money. They can easily improve the housing needs of the people there. But they literally live in squalors, most of them. If you go to Marikana, you would see that not far from the community, there's a dumping ground for all rubbish that people accumulate. And sometimes you see children scavenging on those dumping grounds. It's very unhealthy. But the whole issue of socioeconomic justice is a big challenge in this country. And it cannot be left unattended without serious consequences.
It is the challenge. It is the reason that this whole unrest actually took place, isn't it?
Well, basically, it's a combination of things. The main thing is exploitation of labor, low wages for heavy and dangerous work that people are doing. And secondly, it's the living conditions in which they find themselves that are unacceptable to them.
Archbishop, I don't know if you've heard this, but I've been reading on Reuters that two more people were killed on Wednesday by police at the Anglo-American platinum mine. Do you know anything about this?
Well, I heard about it. I've not had any confirmation, but I'm aware that a woman called Paulina, who is a local councillor, who was shot on Saturday by the police, and she died yesterday.
Surely after the terrible massacre that happened just, what was it, 3 weeks ago, the police have to be very, very careful what they do now.
Well, it seems they didn't learn their lessons, because they're still very aggressive and engaging with the people. This woman who died yesterday shouldn't have died, or shouldn't have been shot at in the first instance, because she was not even on the street. She was in her, in an office of the local civic society. And therefore, how she got shot, nobody knows. And of course, nobody's going to admit that she was shot by the police. But everybody knows that she was caught on a crossfire.
Oh, this is really bad news. It has terrible echoes of the past. What do you hope will happen next, Archbishop?
Well, I'm hoping that many people will work for peace and reconciliation. I think something very drastic needs to happen there, in terms of bringing people together to talk about the issues that worry them, issues of concern, so that together they can build a better future.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else you would like to say?
I would like to say thank you for your interest and support, and for publicity that you've given to us over there. And we do hope this will come to pass, and that people will be happy as a community and as workers in that part of the world.